Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
About yesterday being the five-year anniversary of COVID coming to Chicago, Carol says, I remember the first time I went to Target and I had to wear a mask. I sat in my car and cried. John, I remember signing up for the first vaccination that would take place in an empty Kmart building. Names were drawn like the lottery. It was military-like. John, my son's basketball team won a spot at the Special Olympics tournament, and then Wednesday came the news it was canceled. I thought they were making a huge deal out of a few people getting sick, and I was really angry. Later, I was really grateful. Imagine all of those kids in a gym. And the list goes on. John, I worked as an occupational therapy assistant during the whole pandemic in a nursing home, and I remember slowly patients and staff getting sick, some dying before the vaccine. The terror I felt going into work each day, not knowing if I was going to catch it and get very sick or die, was overwhelming. I started to have panic attacks, chronic anxiety, which I still have. I don't feel like the same person I was. And that makes me sad. John, my husband was 54, worked with a trainer, was an avid outdoorsman and hunter. He walked in the door April 24th and said he felt off. 19 days later, he was gone. The words COVID and pandemic now trigger me. Two grandkids he'll never meet. Bernadette and Jane, those are my granddaughters, are blessed to have you. I'm destroyed, says Kimberly. Annette says, getting March 8th, 2020, call from my mom's nursing home saying they were shutting their doors to visitors for 2 weeks. For the next 379 days, I could only visit my mom outside the window of her first floor apartment. John, Steve Bertrand's trip to Ireland with Mr. Fix-It, we were going to go. Yeah, we had a trip got canceled too. One more. John, the last day I saw my mom in person, they shut the nursing home down. She contracted COVID and passed away. And a lot of you have stories like that. John, it became real for me when I heard Tom Hanks and his wife had COVID. Yeah, they were. That was a big announcement. It was a good line, I think, at the Golden Globes, was it? Or was it on it? No, it was on SNL when the people who had hosted five times or more came out. And then they played a little game where they told everybody something that maybe you didn't know or would surprise you. So they all had these little confessions. And Tom Hanks says, I never had COVID. Very funny. It got a laugh.
And 38% of the country believed him.
Yes, exactly. Aha, see, I told you. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Jeffrey Copen joins us again. Doctor, we missed you. How have you been?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you, John. It's good to be back. Listening to our listeners share their, you know, their stories about COVID, first of all, it's hard to believe it's 5 years.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you have a personal moment? When did it become real to you, doctor? Or maybe your reaction or memory is different because you right away appreciated this, but it kind of snuck up on a lot of us.
Yeah, you know, I knew what was going on with COVID in countries like Italy that got hit hard before we got hit here in America.
Yeah.
So I was following that, what was happening in China. But when it became real for me, John, was early in March of 2020, when we knew the virus was here in the United States, and we knew that we were going to have a big problem with it. We had our first meeting here at the hospital up in Lake Forest to get prepared for something. We weren't 100% sure what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, the virus was not yet COVID. It was a coronavirus. We knew
that,
but the name we know it by now, we weren't using. We were trying to learn as much as we could about the virus, but that first meeting, I had on my calendar, I wrote it down as coronavirus preparation, not having any sense what really was about to happen and what we were all going to collectively experience.
I'm glad, though, that you all were as proactive as you can be. I'm happy you are taking your responsibilities that seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we knew we had to get ready. We knew we had to learn a lot about a virus none of us had ever seen before. Those were crazy days. Huh. And they turned into very long days, as you can imagine. And an interesting story, the very first patient that we diagnosed in Lake Forest with COVID had just come back from skiing in Switzerland. Hmm. And it turned out that this patient contracted the virus in the same area that the Italians that brought it back to Italy contracted it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, how you can trace it like that.
Yeah. And this was the very first patient that we saw. And back then, we didn't have a test. We did not have a diagnostic test to confirm that this patient had COVID. We actually made the diagnosis off of a CAT scan of the lungs, because by then we knew of characteristic findings on a CAT scan of the lung that had been reported from Italy. And it was only 2 weeks later that we're able to get the State Department of Health to run the then diagnostic test to confirm this really was COVID. I mean, this shows you how this started back in March of 2020.
Maybe somewhat related, Doctor. My friends in the newsroom shared with me a story this week that the percentage of school-aged children who are getting vaccinated for various childhood illnesses is going down. It's 93 or 94% now, and it's getting close to the threshold for herd immunity. I wonder what your thoughts are about all of that.
Yeah, it's frightening, and it's something that we've been predicting, John, now for several years. You know, when I think back to when we got to the end of 2020 with Operation Warp Speed, and we suddenly had a vaccine to a virus that didn't exist a year before, the lines we had of people waiting to get the COVID vaccine. And, you know, on WGN, I talked a lot about this, John. Remember how people would travel great distances to find the vaccine? I mean, we talked so much about it back then.
Yeah.
This was early in 2021. And then what happened over the next year was all this vaccine hesitancy. And what we started to talk about then was not only concerns about people not getting COVID vaccine who really should be getting COVID vaccine, but what would the implication be to other vaccinations that we've had for a long time, most importantly, childhood vaccines. And unfortunately, that concern has come true. So the uptake of vaccine, even in a pediatric population that used to be in the high 90% throughout the United States, is now down, CDC thinks, around 93%,
yeah,
which sounds high, but it's not high enough. So we're starting, actually, there's measles that's out there. Nobody wants to get measles. It's a terrible, terrible disease. There's pertussis, whooping cough that's out there. There's even a little bit of rubella that's been reported, German measles. You know, I grew up in the 1960s, and, you know, these things were around,
yeah,
back then.
Yeah.
But by the time my wife and I had our own kids, we didn't see this stuff anymore, and it was because of pediatric vaccinations. So we're going to live through a pretty rough period, I fear, for the next bit until we can get the vaccine uptake back to where it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, I think some people just are either skeptical or think they know better. I saw in that new book, it's Malcolm Gladwell's latest, The Return of the Tipping Point. He has a story in there about vaccination rates, and he reminded us that the lowest vaccination rate, and it's not even 50%, I don't have the numbers in front of me, is for kids who go to the Montessori schools. They're very involved, proactive, super smart parents are the most hesitant to get their kids vaccinated. Don't ask me why, but that was just one of the funny points he pointed out in his book. Doctor, I teased your next conversation with me here for a few minutes, saying this will be a patient encounter. I noticed that some medical operations don't call them appointments. They call them encounters. Have you noticed that too?
Yeah, what is an encounter? It's like a close encounter or something,
it
right?
It sounds frightening
like an old
to me.
Spielberg film.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I'm big into appointments, still.
Fair enough. I understand that, though, includes consultations, telehealth sessions, according to one of our listeners, any documented interaction with a medical service. It might not be an appointment with a doctor, but you've had some sort of contact with that place, so it becomes an encounter. I don't know if that's for insurance or billing purposes, but some of us have noticed that word pop up now.
Yeah, encounter. Okay, maybe it'll be the word of the year, John. We'll see.
I hope not. Anything that you want to make sure we get from you before I let you go today, Doctor? We talked a lot about COVID. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, well, you know, we're right now in the midst of the respiratory virus season, John. All the hospitals in the area are very, very busy. And it's a combination of the respiratory viruses we've been talking a lot about. There's a lot of influenza around, so the seasonal flu. There's COVID. There's RSV that we've talked about. Again, would make the strong recommendation, particularly for our older listeners, if you've not yet gotten vaccinated with the seasonal flu vaccine or COVID, it's not too late.
Well,
this stuff is around and it's not going away.
What about the very young? So I have a four-year-old in my life now and a one-year-old, and they're going to daycare and touching all kinds of people and things. Should they get a flu shot, an RSV shot, a COVID shot? What should the very young be doing?
Yeah, so there's going to be different recommendations depending on the age, but certainly influenza, that's going to be important. The very young, potentially RSV, that's something to talk to the pediatrician about. And there's a recommendation for COVID even for everybody 6 months of age and older. So these are all things to talk to you, to the healthcare provider about. But The groups that we're always most concerned about, Jen, are the very young, and there the pediatricians and the parents are usually really on top of vaccination. Immunocompromised people, and you know who you are, and then older folks. And right now in the Chicago area, I just saw some data coming out from the Chicago Health Department. The uptake of COVID vaccine is extremely low. I mean, we're talking about like 11%. That's it. And in the population of people 65 years and older who absolutely should be getting it, it's not much better. So if you hear my voice and you fall into that population, you really should get the COVID vaccine. It's going to keep you from getting sick. And absolutely, you need to have that influenza vaccine. We know already for this year, tons of people have influenza, but people who've had the vaccine just don't get sick the same way people do who do not have the vaccine. And if you've ever had influenza, real influenza, that's not a disease that you want to get.
A lot of our listeners have, and I've heard from family, friends, and listeners who would second what you just said. Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Lake Forest Hospital. Doc, it's always good to hear you. When one of the subs fills in for you, they're just terrific as well, but we sure appreciate your familiar voice joining us.
Yeah, it's always good to be here. I apologize when I have to miss, but I hope we can do this next week, John.
That's the plan with Dr. Jeffrey Copen.